WildTalkRadio.com. The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Flat with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keiji Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTRLive. Chat if you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use Critical Rock, Second of Fortnite, I'm Chopper, Epic Game Store, because hashtag Epic Partner. I'm the producer, Sir Rock, and joined as always by Keiji Matsunaga.
Ooh, I'm first tonight. That's fun.
You're first tonight.
What did I do?
You're the first name I saw, so I went, that one.
I'll take it.
There you go. We has the intern Kane Kittens.
Oh, I see how it is. I see. You know what? I'm just going to go back on mute. Forget you guys.
And after 17 long years, it's the return of Tim Stein.
What is it? Really?
Or maybe a month. I don't know. It's been a bit.
All right. So, like, it's my first time back since pre-Father's Day. It's been a busy month, man.
It's been a minute.
Man.
I mean, you guys took... You Canadians took an extra Canada Day off.
Well, let's face facts. The weather isn't nice here for very long, so we got to take full advantage of it.
Well, that depends on what your definition of nice is. I know a lot of people who can't wait until wintertime. They're a bunch of weirdos anyway.
But don't you always have winter in Canada?
In the wintertime, which lasts from September until May.
So that's the majority of the year then.
Yeah, it's the small window of opportunity.
So yes, always. It's always winter in Canada. Like they say, it's always sunny in Philadelphia. It's not, but
that's bullshit.
It's not actually always sunny.
If it was always sunny in Philadelphia, then why is everyone so miserable?
Because it's Philadelphia.
Because it's not always there? It's not always sunny here. It's a miserable time at points.
At points?
Yes.
However, we have
good moments.
Last week, the beginning of July, proves that Canada is the man in the relationship with the United States because Canada Day comes first.
Canada is also on fire.
And it's been on fire
we've got a bunch of arsonists up here.
Hey, give it time. You guys will catch fire soon.
We don't need to. We get your smoke. It's fine.
California will have its time.
Canada is just hotboxing the U.S.
I mean, it is legal up here.
He's got a point.
Anyway,
officially, welcome everybody to WTR Sunday Night. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for tuning in to listen to us ramble about, you know, stuff and some pro wrestling talk right here live on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming on twitch.tv/WTR live. If you're listening anywhere on the World Wide Web, come join us. We got a live chat room. Interact with everybody. Post stuff in the chat room and we might even react to it.
We'll see.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Depends.
Who knows?
We're not talking about Joe Biden.
Good.
Anywho, we're going to talk professional wrestling and stay away from politics. Thank you. Roman Reigns and his bloodline took another step in their cinema on Friday night. What was your reaction to it all, Brent?
The trial of the tribal chief?
Yeah.
It was just an ordeal. when you think like the story is going to be over, they add a new wrinkle. And so we finally got at Money in the Bank, someone getting one over on Roman. For the longest time, it's been Roman wins, lol, usually with the Usos' help. And we finally saw, you know, a little dent in the armor. Especially because it would have been very easy to have Solo take the pin. Because then you could start to do, you know, oh, is Roman gonna trust Solo? And, you know, that kind of thing. But instead, they had Roman get pinned. And now that starts to set up, like, yeah, does Jay get the next shot because he got the pin? Do we get to see main event Jey Uso again? Which is how this all started. And then, all, you know, just the trial in the ring and all of the little things that happened with that. And then how it all ended with the gauntlet being thrown down, essentially. I enjoy it. I think it's one of those where this storyline has been going on for 3 years now, and yeah, at times we kind of go, okay, is it time to wrap it up? But at the same time, they're at least keeping some things fresh. They're keeping it interesting. They're keeping you wanting to see what happens next, as opposed to, well, we're just going to keep this going for going's sake.
Fair. Keish, what were your reactions to it all?
I'm continuing to enjoy it. I think they're doing a fantastic job. And like Brent said, even though it's been going on for 3 years, and sometimes you're like, all right, let's go, they seem to always find a way to, like, progress the story in a way that keeps it fresh and keeps me coming back and wanting to watch. Like, I go out of my way to find those clips if I can't watch it live to make sure that I'm 100% caught up on what's going on. It's, yeah, they're much like how the Judgment Day is kind of keeping me tuned into Raw. They're keeping me tuned into SmackDown for sure.
They keep finding another gear.
Yeah.
And they find that gear right when everybody's collectively thinking, okay, is it time to wrap it up? Oh, wait, there's a new gear. There's like a twist. So they're keeping it fresh at just the right time. Now, there's a lot of people out there who aren't into it. They're over it. They don't get it. They're sick of it. Whatever. There's also a lot of people that don't like storytelling in movies, and all they want is the car crashes, which is my analogy for that. I mean, you can't have a movie full of car crashes without story. And whoever is writing this Bloodline story is actually doing a damn good job of it and keeping it up to date.
So it's not too drawn out?
At times, yeah, I will admit, at times it does feel like it's starting to get stale. But here's, you know, like what we've all talked about. Right when it's starting to feel stale, they do something new. It's like, you know, like the Fast and the Furious movies have 10 chapters. And you're like, well, okay, maybe 6 was enough. Oh, wait, no, check out what's going on in 7. Okay, that's enough. Oh, wait, check out, hey, look what happened in Fate of the Furious. Oh, okay. Well, it's over. No, wait. And now, like with Fast 10, they left it on a massive major cliffhanger with The Rock coming back for a
spoiler.
Fast 11.
Spoiler.
Wow, thanks, Tim.
Wow. Wow. He just spoils it. Wow.
That's not a spoiler. That's like well known.
You know who didn't know until you opened your mouth?
Keisha.
You?
Me.
I'm sorry, Keisha.
Because I go out of my way to not spoil myself on things when I want to see movies.
I apologize. I didn't realize that was a spoiler because it's been all over social media since before the movie was released.
I was not aware.
I apologize, man. I didn't mean to accidentally spoil something that was already spoiled by other people.
Sure.
Tim is why we can't have nice things. That is a factual statement.
Kayfabe, brother.
Don't make me turn the show around.
I mean, just don't, like, you know, spoil the whole movie. I know The Rock Instagrammed about it, but still, it's...
Oh, I didn't even see that.
But still, that's a spoiler. It's the ending of the movie. He just goes, here's what happened. Good job, Tim.
I said they left it on a cliffhanger and someone returned. I didn't say where in the movie someone returned.
Yeah. Okay.
Keep telling yourself that.
Anyway, that's my point. Just when you've had enough, they give you something new. They keep it new.
So I'll ask this question. When is enough and it's time for a change in the direction of the story?
You can tell it's getting close because, I mean...
There's only one person left.
Yeah. But
well,
that, I mean,
too with Heyman.
They can keep those two around for a little bit and kind of break off the Usos and kind of end the Bloodline story there and just have Solo stay there. But, like, you can, depending on the outcome of the match between Jay and Roman, if they have it, if they don't, it's not set in stone yet. But, you know, if Solo could either be the reason why he loses or Solo can start seeing the cracks for himself and they can kind of do that. And the Usos can kind of go away, and they'll keep things fresh that way for a little bit.
What do you do with the Usos after all this is said and done? They've pretty much done everything.
Give them a vacation? I don't know.
They all need to go off the air except for Solo when this is finally wrapped up.
Because going back into a normal tag feud for the Usos kind of seems a little of a step back when this is
all done. What, you mean after having a historic title reign?
Historic title reign... one of the biggest storylines in the history of the company, you know, feuding with Hit Row after this. Ooh, that wouldn't, you know, wouldn't light the world on fire.
You don't think Usos and Pretty Deadly is going to be a, you know, barn burner feud?
Be a good match. I don't know if you know, whatever they do after this is probably going to be a letdown in comparison.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, I mean, depending on how the story goes, like if Roman defeats Jay in their match, and they just go and take out the Usos, they can kind of go away from television for a bit, let people miss them. And they could come back and do a thing where, like, we're the gatekeepers. And if you haven't beat us, you haven't done anything.
Quite possibly.
Yeah, I was going to say, whoever the Usos face next, I feel like they've got to give the rub to. Because, like you said, you can't just have the Usos go back and get another title run. Because we just got done with a big one. We've already seen it. It would need to be something special for that to happen. But more than likely, what I would love is for them to take, you know, an up-and-coming team and help elevate them for that next step. Now, does that have to be immediate? No. Like Casey said, it could be something where they get jumped or Roman takes out Jay as, you know, the ultimate, like, you try to take down the tribal chief. This is what happens. Reassert his quote-unquote dominance until the time comes when he finally does lose his belt. But then when the Usos come back, it's, yeah, we are the longest reigning tag team champions ever. We are the greatest. We're part of the greatest family. And then they help whoever is going to be kind of set up for that next run. Because at least that would still feel big, in a sense, by helping to elevate the next group, rather than being put into a television feud with Hit Row.
Fair enough.
No offense to Hit Row.
No offense to Hit Row.
Maybe a little bit of an offense to Hit Row.
Maybe.
Yeah, not like they've been getting picked on this entire segment.
Michael Cole picks on him every chance he gets.
No, wow, just top dollar.
Well, yeah, when you eat it the way he did. And apparently have the reputation he does backstage.
Yeah.
So we talk about having the Usos elevate the next team. We've seen over the last year the Intercontinental Championship get elevated by one Gunther.
Gunther!
And now, he looks like he has a new challenger in one Drew McIntyre.
And everybody snickered when I picked Drew.
We didn't.
No, we didn't. Anyway, is this help elevating the belt, putting Gunther and Drew in a feud together, Tim?
Yes.
Or Case?
Sorry. I think so. Because you have Drew, who's kind of already been in the main event picture. And so having him come back and go after a title against a guy who's had one of the longest streaks in recent history. And so Drew theoretically is, you know, type of like, it's not the heavyweight championship, but like taking that title from Gunther would be a big milestone that I could, you know, put under my belt. So absolutely. I think it's good.
What do you think, Tim?
I think that Gunther holding the IC title has actually elevated the mid-card, bringing Drew in to challenge him brings it up even more, makes it even more relevant. And it's a bit of a throwback to the Attitude Era, where the mid card was just as important, if not more so, than the main event, than the, you know, the top tier.
This would be Drew McIntyre's second challenge for the Intercontinental title against Gunther, because it was, you know, at WrestleMania when he challenged along with Sheamus.
Yeah, but that was a triple threat.
Yeah, this time it's one-on-one. It's a bit different.
But it's still him being in that title picture, elevating it past your traditional mid-card. It's kind of been there. He's been in that position for a minute.
Well, they could do worse than having Gunther drop the belt to Drew. Provided, of course, they elevate Gunther and have him chase the world.
You really think Drew's going to be the guy to finally take down Gunther?
I don't know.
Looking at the whole roster and such, if it is time to elevate Gunther, putting the strap around Drew is not a bad idea.
But does Drew need the belt?
He doesn't have to hold it for anywhere near as long as Gunther did.
I'm not saying that, but does he actually need the championship? Is it something you want to see him hold?
Well, title reigns are nothing like they used to be back in, you know, air quotes, the old days.
Depends what the old days you're talking about.
But it's like the title holder back in, again, air quotes, the old days, the title holder was the guy who made the most money on the card. That no longer holds true and doesn't matter anymore.
I think Roman would disagree with that. Just pointed that out. I think he would disagree that, you know, he's the one drawing some money and bringing in some fans and the ratings and the houses and whatnot.
That's not what I said.
It's kind of what you said.
No, that's a twist on what I said. But nowadays, audiences don't go to a wrestling show just to see one wrestler like they used to.
There are
people buying, slamming down money for tickets just to see Roman. There are people also slamming down money just to see Seth. But there are people slapping down money to see people like Liv. People like Raquel, Bianca Belair.
I was going to use another name from the other company that they all pep money down to see. But, you know, that only can happen a couple times in Chicago.
Hey. Yeah, I'll let you know how it goes on Saturday in Calgary.
You're going to be live on the scene.
I am going to be live on the scene.
For two events?
Yes.
Because apparently they're doing Battle of the Belts.
Oh, nice.
Contractually obligated to do the TNT special.
So I think you're going to get three tapings then. You're getting ROH, Collision, and Battle of the Belts.
Oh boy, I hope my kid can stay up that late.
Keishi, how late do you stay up normally?
Me?
Yeah.
Around midnight our time.
All right, well, drink a soda, get some coffee.
I would assume ROH is first, unless they're taping, to them they can also split an hour and an hour and kind of cut people slack. Tape an hour Wednesday and tape an hour Saturday for ROH, just to cut people slack.
But they're already going to be taping
Rampage. No, yeah. they pre-tape something already, didn't they?
No.
Oh.
No, I'm saying no. So you split it into 4 hours. So like, get your hour Rampage, your hour of ROH, 2 hour Dynamite, and an hour of ROH, 2 hours of Dynamite, an hour of Battle of the Belts.
Yeah, if they're going to do Battle of the Belts, they would be smart to put ROH first.
But it's AEW, who knows?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I'll let you know.
5 hour taping!
Keishi sees three of it. Maybe four.
Well, it starts at 6.
Which is 8 Eastern.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you'd be there at about 10, 11.
That's not terrible.
It's a lot to throw on the people, though.
He stays up later when he has to wrestle in Edmonton.
That's true.
But it's not him we're concerned about. It's more his kid.
Yeah. Hey, it's summertime.
He'll be fine.
Maybe I'll sneak him a little teaspoon of energy drink.
Give him some Prime Energy, because apparently that has caffeine in it.
Yeah, the energies do, but we don't get those here. And the places that do sell them, they sell them for like $10 a can.
Wow.
What's that now?
Prime Energy. They're like energy drinks, but they're not. I don't know if they're, some of them are technically approved up here yet.
It's the Logan Paul drink.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Yeah. his drink is getting looked at because apparently it's got the same amount of caffeine as six cans of Coke.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah, that's fun for kids. Explains a lot, yeah, though.
That would give you and me heart murmurs.
It explains a lot, though. Anyway.
I'd be interested to try one, though, just to see.
Just to see.
if you can go for a week without sleep.
Maybe I'll spend the money and get my hands on one for Saturday.
There you go.
How are you liking Collision so far, Keish?
It's not bad. I don't know. I'm watching it really through the eyes of my child. He enjoys the crap out of it. It's hard for me to, I'm not the guy to ask. I'm not super critical. I just like wrestling.
Here's the way to put it. Are they featuring enough variety of talent that you're not used to seeing? Like, are we getting enough of the Miros and the Andrades? And are they putting...
I'm going to say sometimes.
Okay. Because they're trying.
Like, yeah. You get them every once in a while. And I think it's probably just like, I don't know if he's trying to play it safe or what. But yeah, I think he could probably risk featuring some more of those guys a little more often just to see how it goes.
Because the one thing you'd say about the show in 4 weeks, they've centered it around CM Punk, Samoa Joe, and Bullet Club Gold, and throwing FTR in there as well. Like, that's been your constant feud on the show. The hook of the show, basically.
Which I don't mind. I, as long as, you know, if they can keep that more to Collision and less to Dynamite.
Yeah,
make
it its own thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, sometimes it's an easy show to watch. Sometimes it's like, I don't know if this is really enough wrestling. If it's like keeping the interest of, oh, I need to watch more wrestling from them. It's a difficult. I know I missed the third episode.
There are some that I've missed for, you know, being committed to other things on a Saturday. And there have been some that I miss because, like, I'll watch it when my kid's here all the time because he likes to, whether I watch it Saturday night or whether we watch it Sunday morning. But I don't, if he's not around, I don't always catch it. It's not like something, oh, man, I got to make sure I'm home to watch Collision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem.
I do that on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Mm-hmm. I don't have the type of schedule where I can kind of prioritize my watching of wrestling.
Which makes sense, and that's kind of their issue with the show right now in terms of the dip in the ratings. It's like, is it much must-watch at that time? And
yeah,
it's not.
It's, and I mean, Saturday nights aren't like what they used to be. So it's nice to have that, like, Saturday night wrestling nostalgia, but with kind of how things have become, Saturday nights aren't necessarily just for fighting anymore.
Despite them using the song.
Which is why I tucked that in there.
Go ahead, right.
I was going to say, I have a feeling things are going to take a real hit in about a month and a half.
College football.
Ah.
Yeah, because college football, especially on those networks, which, I mean, doesn't normally carry football, but you're going to get pulled into, you know, primetime SEC football. That's going to hit your ratings.
And in a month, it's SummerSlam. It'll be the first premium live event up against an AEW Collision show.
That'll be interesting.
Because so far, the different time zones have helped.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see where the show lies in a few months.
For the sake of the wrestlers having, you know, more opportunities to wrestle, and hopefully having that many shows giving other wrestlers more opportunities, I hope it's all successful.
Yeah, and you talked about nostalgia for wrestling on a Saturday night. It used to be 6 o'clock, not Eastern, 6 Eastern. It was not 8 o'clock. You had your hour and a half, 2 hours of wrestling, and then it's like, here's your night. You could still watch your football or whatever, or go out and et cetera, et cetera. So it's like, we're in a different era now, so we'll see where it goes. But Brent, how are you liking it so far?
I want to say, like, aside from your main event feud, you know, Punk and FTR at the top of the card, nothing's really grabbing me from this and making it feel like it is a... Like, when it comes to SmackDown and Raw, they try to make it seem like they're comparable products. In the past, it was Raw's the entertainment, SmackDown's the wrestling, but at least they felt on par with one another. It wasn't like, here's Raw, And here's superstars. Mm-hmm. Aside from your top tier feud, a lot of Collision feels like superstars. Like, no offense, I'm not tuning in and just gearing up to watch Scorpio Sky in action Andretti. Will it be entertaining for, you know, high spots and stuff? Sure. But what does it mean after one match? And I mean, I guess that could be a bigger microcosm of what AEW is. What is it past the one match? So when it comes to Collision, it's like, I understand they wanted to do the second show. I understand they wanted to, you know, bring it up. I just don't want an extension of Rampage past whatever CM Punk is doing.
Fair.
And we're kind of getting that with, like, Miro, with Scorpio, with what I'm guessing is when Thunder Rosa comes back. Mm-hmm. It'll be this, like, okay, we have our main event talent, which we're trying to draw the ratings with, and then we've got this stuff to kind of fill in the time and get people some work. Which, no problem getting them, you know, some exposure and some work, but that's what we also said about Rampage, and look at what we think of Rampage now.
100 episodes, by the way.
Yep. And also, just a quick note to AEW, if you're going to run a tournament, please don't have people going to work major cards elsewhere and then get hurt, and then you have to, like, delay matches for said tournament.
Who got hurt?
Willow.
Willow. Oh. Nightingale.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was supposed to wrestle on Collision, but they pushed it to
Dynamite to see if she'll be able to compete.
Yeah.
And well, I know that you can't help, like, illnesses, but it's like, two of your big stars got sick and you had to adjust matches for them as well in the fact that you're running two tournaments at the same time.
Yeah, no company should run two different types of tournaments. Because they're running Owen twice.
Three.
And now they're the Blind Eliminator. So they're running three tournaments at once. Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
While also giving a random team a title shot through an eliminator.
That's a lot.
That being said, though, I am enjoying the MJF Adam Cole stuff.
That's fine.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And if it wasn't for the Tag Team Eliminator Tournament, we may not have got it.
You also could wait a month and then have done the
same thing. Oh, absolutely. I'm not saying that, like, yeah, that's definitely something they could have waited for, because those two could have done that at any time and it would have been awesome.
And we got the extension of the Keith Lee Swerve Strickland feud. We don't know when it's going to end.
I don't think anyone cares at this point. Been...
Trench might. Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait.
He was let go from the company with a perfect record.
What? 1-0?
Nothing.
Nothing?
He had no matches.
Money well spent, Tony.
Do we think...
Parker's next.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, he's the one who posted out the picture of 1-0 or something. Some one of them did, yeah.
Yeah, Parker is not long for AEW, I think. The fact that they created the Mogul Embassy just shows that those two guys... That is the Nightmare Collective all over again, where it's like they introduced it and then instantly went, ooh, never mind.
Oh, there you go. All right, with that, let's get jump into some all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop the freaking do.
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
To spark a reaction, one of the true leaders of the Wyatt family, Randy Orton, betrays the rest of the family, takes on the Nation of Domination, turning on Farouk. Brent.
Okay, look, Randy joining the family was a really big deal, okay? Mm-hmm. He was welcomed into the family by Bray and Luke.
Mm-hmm. Became one of the founding fathers of the group, one of the mainstays.
Yep, became a pillar.
There you go. That's what I was looking for. Pillar.
Became a pillar of the Wyatt family. I'm just waiting for the hate message to
come eventually. Yeah,
it'll come in. But not, like, Randy betraying the Wyatt family was fun because we all knew what was coming.
Yeah,
we all saw it coming, and we saw that Luke was watching and like, this isn't good. Bray, what are you doing? But to me, I have to give it to the Nation. Because, you know, Farouk created this group with, was it Clarence mm-hmm. Williams?
Clarence Mason.
There it is. Clarence Mason. And then, you know, the other members of the group formulated, and it became, like, one of the first really big faction of that time. And then, of course, we got the whole warfare angle between members of the nation.
Oh, yeah.
But when they turned and you got to see that moment where, like, The Rock took hold of the nation, that was a big moment.
All right, so one for Randy. Go ahead.
Yeah, Randy turning on the Wyatt family. I mean, we kind of knew it was coming. We knew that Randy was going for the belt and that it was going to end at Mania, probably. But it felt weird throughout the whole way.
All right, one for the nation, Keish.
Nation. I don't know if there's much else to add, but I think I would just... I'm kind of going solely based on, like, I was way more surprised that they turned on Farouk than Randy turning on Bray.
Okay, all right, Tim.
It was more surprising when Randy joined Bray than when he left. So, yeah.
Tim.
Yeah, the nation, and I've got nothing to add that hasn't been said, really.
Okay.
It's sad, but everybody said what I was could have said.
Hogan betrays the fan and creates the new world order of wrestling, brother. Or SoCal Val betrays Jay Lethal.
All right, did you really need to put Hogan betraying the fans up against anything? That's the biggest shock in the history of pro wrestling.
So 1, 2, 3, and move on. The anniversary was the other day.
I was going to say, it was this week was the anniversary of Bash at the Beach 96.
Yep.
Made a topic on sports radio here. All right. Seth Rollins betrays the Shield, or James Mitchell turns on Abyss. Keish.
I'm going to go with Seth. I didn't see that coming. I was super surprised. I also didn't see James Mitchell turning on Abyss live, but Seth turning on Roman and Dean. Haha. That I was just like, oh no, they got me.
There you go. Tim.
Yeah, that's definitely the biggest shock of the two. I mean, James Mitchell turning on Abyss, that was huge for what it was at the time. But that's a couple of guppies against a couple of orcas. I mean, the Shield just coming off an absolute shit-kicking victorious in their match. Who was it? Triple H and Ric Flair and who?
That was Triple H, Randy Orton, and Batista.
Or Randy Orton and Batista.
No, it was Batista, Randy, and Trips, yeah.
And they kicked their collective asses, but Seth winds up taking a payday from them. That's a totally WTF moment.
Always a plan B, Brent.
Just to make it, just to be a little bit different, I'll take Mitchell and Abyss. It's the bearer taker of TNA, and it was surprising to see Mitchell turn his back on the monster.
I need the three of you to go look in the group text chat so you know what's coming next round. As we do this, Bobby Roode betrays James Storm while the Young Bucks kick Adam Cole out of the Bullet Club.
Go to
Ooh.
That's yeah, I saw that. I saw that.
I
have the tournament
coming.
Pulled up and I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
By the way, you can follow along at WrestleTalkRadio.com. All right, Brent. Yeah,
Jesus.
This one's tough for me, mostly because I'm not a big ROH person. I know the impact of the Young Bucks, Adam Cole, and I think the British guy who may not be named that kicked him out for. Whoop whoop. But like, I understand it was a big deal kicking Adam Cole out of the Bullet Club, especially because Adam Cole to that time was, you know, one of the longest reigning Ring of Honor champions through that run, I believe. But I always have a soft spot for beer money. This was back when, you know, I was really watching TNA. No offense to, you know, the Global Force Wrestling and onward of TNA that kind of got viewers out of there. But Beer Money was one of those groups where you look at it and it probably should not have been as entertaining as it was, but the two guys that were involved are entertaining as hell.
So Bobby Roode.
For that, I'll go Roode when he turned on James.
Keish.
For the pure sake of making things fun and interesting, I'm going to pick when the Young Bucks kick Adam Cole out of the Bullet Club.
Tim.
I loved Beer Money, and that broke my heart, but I want to put Tim on the spot.
Tim.
I'm not on the spot. I was 100% Bobby Roode from the minute that I saw this list.
Bobby Roode moves on. This may be the...
Beer Money breaking up was bullshit, man. It's still beer to me.
That being said, my boss at my shoot job totally has one of those ride-on coolers.
Oh, yeah?
And it comes...
The Boozer Cruiser?
Yeah, but the one that he got has, like, other cooler rail cars you can attach to it. So He, like, drives around sitting on one, and then he tows two behind him.
Nice.
It's cool.
What, Brent? What, Brent? Brent,
he wants
what?
One.
No, Brent, what? What? What, Brent? What's the matter?
He sees the next matchup.
He does.
Uh-huh.
He does. Kevin Steen turns on El Generico in 2009. Meanwhile, in the real world of, and not hypotheticals, Coda Kai turns on Tegan Nox. We're going to start with Keishi, and then we'll get to him.
Ooh, boy, that is pretty tough.
Talk out your process.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to figure out how to get my thought process going here. I think I'm going to have to lean towards Dakota Kai turning on Tegan Nox, mostly because that's one that I saw live and the other one I kind of watched after the fact, because up here in Canada, I didn't know how to get ROH. So yeah. And I also, once again, that it threw me for a loop. Didn't see it coming. It was really, really good. So yeah, I'm going to pick Dakota Kai turning on Tegan Nox.
Should we let Brent go next, or should Tim just say Kevin Steen and then put Brent really on the spot?
What makes you think I'm going to choose Kevin Steen?
I'm not. No, I'm just saying to tie it up and then really put Brent on the spot, so he has to talk about Dakota Kai turning on Tegan Nox in reality, not in hypothetical.
Yeah, because it's fun, Tim.
Because it's fun, Tim. It's called content creation.
Well, you know what? Just to put Brent on the spot, I'll pick Kevin Steen.
There you go.
If that was my pick or not. Yes, I will. I will. I will be allow you to steer me towards my pick.
There you go. Content creation, Brent.
You all.
Controversy creates cash.
This one actually is really tough for me. Because, I mean, if we're going to talk hypothetically.
No, we're talking reality.
Hypothetically, reality. If someone were to turn on their friend.
These are real situations.
In a time of need at War Games. I've gotten Ring of Honor kind of after the fact, kind of like Keishi. Where you, because ROH was so hard to get, it was the underground thing to try and, you know, find late night on, at least for me, Fox Sports here, and like, oh, is it showing at Friday at midnight? Okay, maybe I can try and watch it. But being able to go back and see Kevin Steen taking on El Generico and just the battles that they've had, and I know that we've already talked about Feud Part 2 earlier with what happened when they decided to, you know, go to another company, it's still like watching ladder wars with these guys and just the hell that they put their body through is insane. Now, hypothetically, watching Team Kick implode at War Games and, you know, absolutely wrecking the surgically repaired knee of her best friend was a horrible thing to watch.
Hypothetically, as you say.
Hypothetically. It's really funny when you see, you know, the three of them in photos now, and they're just, you know, or like, when you see, like, Tegan and Dakota, like, responding to each other on Instagram, you know, kayfabe. No, I'm kidding. Bigger impact, I would say, is Steen El Generico, but I'm gonna throw my, I gotta support my boo. I'm throwing my vote to
Tegan Nox and Dakota Kai. With all the, so we'll stop there for all Brent's pain and suffering. We'll end it there. And more next week. That's our show.
That's it for tonight. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Don't forget the laughter, fun, and mayhem kicks off yet once again tomorrow night and the following Raw with the post show.
Don't use mayhem on a Monday night thing, Tim. How dare you? How dare you? Yeah. How dare you?
Oh, I'm sorry, Rock. Too soon?
Too soon. Way too soon. Anyway.
It's Raw Inside joke.
It's the Raw Post Show. Mondays, 11 p.m. Eastern.
You should, I don't know, play video games on Twitch.
We do that Saturdays, but let's go to Thursday first.
That's pretty cool. Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern. Another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning Rack Radio Show with the multi-time, multi-award-winning hostess with the mostest, Lindsay Ward.
No idea what we're talking about this week. We'll figure it out as we go. It's the Rack Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Check out the Rack X Reviews, AEW Fight Forever, now available wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for the Rack Radio Show.
Saturday night is all right for fighting or playing video games.
Indeed, Fortnite with Friends at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, followed by CB Radio Live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. This past week, we did chocolate desserts. We're going to do something this week for the Great and the Great Debate, if we can figure it out. Saturday night,
well, 11:30. Come up with something.
We have the idea. We just got to see if it's actually possible to do it. It's the one I pitched to before.
If it involves cookies, I'll be there.
No, that was last night. There was lots of cookies.
Lots of cookies, lots of cookie bars.
Yeah, we talked about them last night.
Delicious, chocolatey things. Some not so much, like the main
macadamia nut.
Tim, what do you think of what was it, a chocolate mayonnaise cake?
A what?
A chocolate mayonnaise cake.
I think that anybody who's having chocolate mayonnaise cake needs to put down the THC.
We will be back next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of WTR Sunday Night. It's WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. It's at Wild Talk Radio. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. And on Threads, it's at Wild Talk Radio and Instagram.
Oh, we've joined Threads, have we?
It's there. I mean, we're using it. It's there.
You might as well get on there to get your name.
We got the name. We took the name. There.
Lindsay and I are on there.
There you go. There's your incentive. They may post.
Well, I'm not on Threads, but I'm on Twitter still, so follow me at Flamesforms.
There you go. Case is on the socials.
Yeah, I'm also still on Twitter and Instagram. You can catch me at both of those at Kyle Driver. So take the word pile driver, you know, the wrestling term. Switch the P with a K, and you'll find me. It's a picture of me eating sushi off the championship title. You could also go to my merch store at Redbubble. The link to that is in the description of both of those. Have a peruse. Get yourself a mouse pad with sushi on it.
That sounds very unsanitary.
I clean the belt first.
Oh, okay.
There's a whole video on my Instagram and my Twitter. You can watch it.
I refuse to follow Instagram.
Then you probably won't have Threads.
Anyway, Brent.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter as long as, you know, it is still running and the servers haven't gone into the dumpster fire. At King Kittens. You can also find me on Threads at King Kittens. That is new. I haven't posted anything there yet, but you can keep an eye out just in case. I don't know if anything will happen after, you know, Elon and Mark Zuckerberg decide to get in the ring to fight it out, as has been rumored, which would be the biggest nerd fight ever, but we'll find out. You can also find me on Saturday nights doing the Intern's Corner on CB Radio. And playing Fortnite every so often on this network.
This is where Tim wraps it up.
Yep, I'm done, everybody. Have yourselves a great week. Catch you next Sunday night for another edition of Rush Talk Radio, the original, the innovator, WTR Sunday night. Say goodnight, Brent.
Night!